I extend my welcome to you as well. My name is Wes. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at South Langley. And it's been a good summer, a really good summer. A wonderful drizzle we've had overnight. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more. But these are refreshing times when we have this kind of rain. Huge thanks to our Freedom 55 team that put together the show and shine yesterday. If you were here, some incredibly beautiful cars. I particularly like that Acura that came in a little bit later, and I think it was a 2016, was it? 2012. So I had my eye on that one. Some people like the old things. I truly like the newer ones. So thank you to the team that put that wonderful event together, a way of connecting with our community as well. So this morning we continue with our journey with spiritual disciplines, and we call this sermon series Habit. Dave began way back at the beginning of July by introducing us to a rule of life. If you haven't picked up a book, if you're new and want one of these books, I believe the ushers have some at the back there. You can go to the Welcome Center and get some as well. There's still a few sermons left, and get it just for the rule of life that's at the back of the book. It's a great resource. Dave gave us an example of his rule of life, and take a look at that, because it includes more than spiritual disciplines. It includes other habits that are important for us, health disciplines, emotional and physical disciplines as well, and just a wonderful way to begin bringing discipline into our lives. And so this morning I want to tackle the M&Ms of God's Word, and that would be memorization, meditation, and study. I tried to come up with the three M's, and I asked around the office. So by the end of the service, if you can come up with a third M, I have something special for you. A big hug. So I went with the M&Ms, and so I've brought some M&Ms here just to keep you with me this morning. Who's been in the Word already this morning? I don't know if I can throw that far. Lois, you're going to get hit on the head. Eileen, I'm going to throw this to you, and you have to get this back to Ed Van Bergen. Okay, this side here, who is in the Word already this morning? It's going to go over your head. Mickey, are you able to catch? All right. I like these. Here, somebody in the front row here. Way in the back there. I see one, Shirley. Donnell, you'll have to get this back to Shirley. Oh, Ted, man. Did I get this? This side here? Sam, just because you love God's Word, I'll give that to you. Isabel, just because you gave that to Sam, I'll give you this one. Oh, Andrew, yeah, thank you. So I have a few left, and I may come up with some other ones. I know Debbie's looking for one eventually. So follow along. We're going to be racing through a lot of stuff. If you think there's 3 points here, but each has multiple points as well. The goal isn't to do it all, but rather to choose one of these things and get moving on it. So it's about whetting your appetite rather than getting it all this morning. And so I want to just start moving to inspire you to get into God's Word. You know, a woman read somewhere that dogs were healthier if given a tablespoon of cod liver oil. And so she began the process. She chased her dog down, wrestled it to the ground, then rammed that delivery device down the dog's throat to get it into the dog. I know you've probably done that with a child, right, with their medicine. This routine went on for a number of weeks until one week she spilled the cod liver oil all over the floor. And so she released the dog, went into the kitchen, got a cloth, came back, and noticed that the dog was lapping up the cod liver oil. He loved it. He just hated the way it was being delivered. Approaching God's Word as a duty, a daily grind, will create a spirit of avoidance. Like the dog who had to be held down We will run rather than be attracted to it. We'll fight it all the way. And yet there's so much in store for us when we approach God's word and give it half a chance. The psalmist David, he wrote this in Psalm 34. He said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And one of the ways that we can taste and see that the Lord is good is by being in his word. Yes, it takes effort. Yes, it takes work and discipline, but so do all good things in life. The Abbey grind is a grind. And when I begin it, I question myself and I'm wondering, why am I doing this? As I'm halfway up, I'm thinking, man, I should just quit and go home. I'm almost at the top, my legs are sore and my lungs are done, but then I get to the top. And there's something about accomplishing something, about being at the top and seeing the view. But even more than that, by doing that on a weekly basis provides opportunities for me to get on longer hikes, more difficult hikes, which creates vistas and landscapes that I'd never see if I hadn't prepared myself for those. The prophet Isaiah writes, Isaiah 26, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Who doesn't want this? When was the last time you took a deep breath, allowing the peace of God to wash over you? But it takes time. It takes discipline to make this a habit. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, he reminds us about Scripture and the power of Scripture. And he writes this in chapter 3, 2 Timothy, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." Some translations talk about God's word being God-breathed breath, like the breath of God. And that's such a beautiful picture. God breathed his word upon us. It's difficult to hold all Scripture in our minds. In fact, it's impossible. The Holy Spirit uses different parts of Scripture to shape us, to renew us. There are different scriptures at different times and different seasons in our lives that speak to us. We might not be able to hold all scripture in our heads, but we can hold some. It's important not to use substitutes. When it comes to food these days, there's this trend of going organic. And what I believe this means is stay as close to the original as possible. Stay clear of processed foods. Eat your food straight out of the ground, just like Toby Garcia. He's picked his carrots and there's still dirt on it, and he's wanting to eat away at it. Stay as close to the original as possible. There's an apocryphal story that talks about a foolish farmer who's trying to cut costs on his farm. So he begins mixing sawdust into his mule's feed, and each day he adds just a little bit more sawdust and takes a little bit more out. The mule didn't even seem to notice this gradual change in his diet. The day the farmer fed the poor beast nothing but sawdust, the mule finished the meal and fell over dead. It's apocryphal. Just remember that. The Spirit of God living in us needs more than sawdust to do his work within us. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to inspire, to encourage, to discipline, to make us more in the image of his Son, Jesus. As we come to Scripture, we do need to check our motives. Jesus warns us that we need to approach his word correctly. He's talking to a group of religious leaders in John chapter 5. And there he says, "You study scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." We need to approach God's word holding the hand of Jesus. He's our guide. His Spirit living in us guides us into all truth. Psalm 119, It's the longest chapter in the whole Bible, 176 verses. And just past the halfway mark, in verse 105, we're told, God, your word is a lamp to guide my feet, a light for my path. Your word lights my way. Your word allows me to live life well because I can see where I'm going. And this morning, I'm addressing our personal time in God's word. We can never forget that we've been called to study God's word, to be in the word together as community. When we're just doing it individually and coming up with our own thoughts and interpretations, that can be dangerous. The Anabaptist tradition, the Mennonite tradition, has always been to study God's word as a community and come to understand it as a body of Christ. But this morning, I want to focus on our own personal time in God's word. I want to encourage you to dine in more often. Rather than listening to one more sermon online, another podcast or television preacher, cook a meal at home. Eat at home. And so we start with the first M of our M&Ms, memorization. So here's some statistics. Did you know that after 24 hours, we remember 5% of what we've heard, 15% of what we've read, 35% of what we study, and 100% of what we memorize? I don't know how true those other statistics are, but truly, when we put something in our hearts and minds, it's there. We remember it. So first, we begin by choosing our time. If we value memorization, we will put it in our schedule. So you need to choose a time, and you might want to connect it to your devotional time right in your calendar. If you don't make room for it, it's not going to happen. Second, choose your scripture. You only memorize those things that you truly are motivated to memorize. And first, you need to begin with a Bible translation that works for you. I love reading the New Living Translation. That's the one I preach out of. But when I memorize, I go back to the New International Version, the NIV, because somehow those words are the ones that I know, and they stick a bit better. For youth, it could be the King James. Those are the words that roll off your tongue much easier. Choose the translation that works for you. And then make sure that this passage that you're memorizing has meaning for you. And don't choose one verse here, another verse there. Choose blocks of verses. Choose a whole chapter. Choose a whole book. A number of years ago, Dave did Colossians for us. He came up here and he recited Colossians. That's powerful. Do you need comfort? Go find a psalm and memorize it. We all should have Psalm 23 memorized. It should just be there. Philippians 4, I think everyone should know. Philippians 4, 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And then it ends, and the peace of God will be with you. Who doesn't need those verses in between? Because we're in so many situations where those verses come in handy when they are just there, the tip of our tongue. Make knowing God an essential need that's worth going after. So the third is choose your method. And there's many ways, and you may know the best way that works for you. Many people use song as a way of getting scripture into their hearts. A lot of our worship music is scripture, and so we know a lot of scripture simply because of the songs we know. Sarah taught us a verse, Ephesians 2:10, in June, beginning of June, our Fair Sunday. If you can tell me that verse by memory, I have a treat for you. So who knows Ephesians 2:10? Beth. Okay, go ahead. That sounds good. Did you hear that? That was bang on. Let me just check here. And John, do you remember it? Wow, can you sing it now? Anybody here that knows it? Glenn. But you deserve chocolate. He's going to be with our youth on a boat, hauling them around a lake. Like, That's a gift. So song is another way of memorizing. But I want you to, this is our first try this now. And we're going to go through how to memorize. So first, read the passage out loud at least three times. Allow it to sink into your being. Allow the words become familiar to you. The next one is break the passage into manageable chunks. I can only memorize about 2-3 words at a time, so I just keep adding another word. And as you're breaking this passage into chunks, then write it out. And as you're writing it out, write it out according to those chunks. So as you're memorizing it, you're actually visualizing it as well. And so when you get stuck, you can actually see those words on the piece of paper. There's something about the kinetic approach of using your arm and writing words out that helps you stick it into your mind. Now, the most important thing is the next one, space learning. Now, what is space learning? I always thought the more I said something, the more I repeated it, that was how to memorize. Well, in fact, that isn't. That only puts one imprint of that passage on your brain. What you need to do is create space from saying something three times, then you create space. It could be a minute, it could be 10 minutes, it could be the next day. But then when you come back and say it, you drive another track into your brain, another imprint of that verse into your brain. So the way I do it is I say something three times, I leave it, and then I come back and say it again three times. Then I come back, say it again. And all of a sudden, you're drilling that verse deep, deep down into your brain. And then review. The best place for a review, Ross, is where?
Anywhere.
Correct. Driving home. Traffic is driving you crazy. Start reviewing Scripture. It's amazing how gracious you become. When you're doing something tedious and you need to take your mind off it, when I'm hiking, I go through my Scripture passages because that takes my mind off the hard parts. And all of a sudden, I'm at the top and I haven't even finished the stuff that I'm reviewing. Review is important. Bottom line is it takes hard work to memorize. I didn't think I could memorize Scripture. Like, I had convinced myself that I couldn't do it. And then one time I felt challenged to learn the Sermon on the Mountain. 3 chapters. I think, how am I going to do that? It took me probably half a year, and each time just adding a few more verses. But we can do it. It's a good thing. It's an important thing for us to do. If we had time, I'd have us memorize Matthew 11, verses 28 and 30. I tried memorizing it on Friday night, so it's not imprinted deeply. But Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, we would work through that, create it in chunks, but keep this verse in mind. We're going to keep coming back to it. The second M of the M&Ms is meditation. I find myself more drawn to the S, to the study of God's Word, than to the meditating on God's Word. I get distracted when I'm meditating, and I become curious about what certain things mean. The English language is so interesting. Why did they use that word and not this other word? I think, what is this burden that Jesus is talking about? How does that get lifted from me, and what's his burden that's going to be put on me? So what happens is I get in this study mode. I get to put Scripture at arm's length. I get to come to Scripture and dissect it into little bits and pieces. And then when I'm done, I often just walk away from the operation unaffected. Meditating on God's Word works in the opposite direction. Meditating results in God dissecting me. I get put under the microscope as the Spirit of God works his way deep into my life. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, we're told, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." God's word is a double-edged sword. In fact, it's a scalpel in the hands of the great physician who operates on my life. I leave Scripture as a result, a changed person. There are websites that can teach you how to meditate on God's word. I want to draw your attention to one, Lectio Divina. This is a Greek phrase. It's been a method used by the church down through the centuries. Lectio Divina is a Latin phrase simply meaning divine reading or sacred reading. And it's a way of coming to Scripture and meditating on it. And what I say now is not unique to me. It simply comes out of those who teach this process of meditation. And this is our second try, this. And so it begins with reading and listening. And so if we would use Matthew 11, 28 to 30, again, we would let it run through our mind. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke," see, I've lost it already. "Learn, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." And as you allow and read over that, or allow meditate on it as you've memorized it, certain words are going to bob to the surface. Certain words are going to just come out and become important to you as you meditate. What is the Holy Spirit drawing your attention to? Read and listen. And then the second is meditate. The Holy Spirit is drawing your attention to something. Allow that word to just take root in your heart. If it's the word rest, let it catch your imagination. What does it mean to be at rest? What is living under the surface of this word that we're not seeing at first glance? It's interesting how when Jesus speaks these words to the crowd, it's a refreshing picture of life for those who are bone tired, weary of living life on the edge of ruin. They'd been beaten down by foreign rulers. They were barely enduring the constant judgment of their religious leaders. And Jesus comes along with these wonderful words of hope and life. The religious leaders had put the full weight of the law code upon their shoulders. This was an oppressive yoke. And Jesus comes along and tells them his new law gives freedom. His law is not an unbearable burden. It's a yoke that's easy and a burden that's light. So much of the burden that we carry around with us is simply bad theology. We think God is out to get us. He desires to give us rest. I love how this verse reads in the Message. "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I don't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Who doesn't want that? Third part of meditating is it always leads us to prayer. The thoughts that you've been formulating, pray them back to the Father. Ask for his direction. Ask for clarity. Ask for forgiveness. Give thanks to him. If there's obedience that needed, be resolved to be obedient. And then finally, contemplating. This is the one that we have great difficulty with. In our culture, silence and contemplation is not something that attracts us. Busyness and keeping our minds going is something that we do constantly. Contemplating on the word is allowing God to speak to us, listening. Part of the evangelical church has become afraid of meditation. The meditating that the Bible calls us to is not about emptying our minds, but rather filling our minds with the things of God. We're not talking about just any old thing going through, but allowing the Holy Spirit to work and bring new insights into our lives, things that will cause us to become new and renewed. It's an amazing thing to spend time with our Father. And then finally, studying God's Word, the third S. This isn't a linear pathway. We don't go from memorization to meditation to study. In fact, I'm all over the map. Sometimes when I'm studying, I wind up meditating or thinking, I need to memorize this. So this is a circular thing where you're in and out of these, but it's a wonderful combination to have these in our lives. There are different ways of studying God's Word, and you may have been taught one way, a particular technique, and I want to encourage you just to use that. I want to just highlight a method quickly, and it's called the what method of Bible study. And there's three basic questions that are asked as we come to God's Word, and they all begin with what. And so, what is the author saying? What does the author mean? What does it mean to me? And so the first question is all about observation. We come and we're looking and we're trying to figure, okay, what's here? What can I observe about this passage? The second one is about interpretation. And the third question is about application. How do I now live because of this scripture? And so we begin by answering the question, what is the author saying? What does this mean? And this is foundational. If we don't build a good foundation here, the application could be very wrong. And so it's important to spend good time on this one. And here we need the W5 skills. The who, the what, the where, the when, the whys, and the hows. And so when we do W5, if you can put that slide up, Dream. Who's involved? What's happening? Where is this taking place? When does it happen? You know, in the where question, Israel has a particular geography, and when you've been there, things begin making sense simply because of where in Israel this took place. So these questions, why is this being done or said? How did it happen? And then there's some other questions that we need to begin asking as well. And these are key words that we're going to be looking for. Repetition is a word said over and over again. Why is that word being said over again? Is there a question? Is there advice being given? Is there contrast or comparison taking place? An illustration? What's the atmosphere? What's the form? Is it a narrative? Is it poetic? Is it a prophetic word? So knowing this and building a strong foundation of what the author is saying allows us then to move, okay, what does he mean by what he's saying? And that's the second point. What does the author mean? We very quickly move to, what does this mean to me? But we need to figure out, what does this mean for those who first received this word? And often, this is where we get into trouble. And I have a cartoon here that I kind of illustrates the fact of how quickly we jump to what it means to me. And so the first side says, so Paul says, and this is a doctor or a Brother Biddle cartoon, he begins, so Paul says in verse 14 that because of his chains, others have been encouraged. What do you think it means? And then the hand goes up, oh, I know. And so the answer is, Paul's writing a letter, right? So this is a chain letter, like the one I just got. And then the next slide, no, you're missing the point. I'm a chain smoker, and God's speaking to me through this to tell me I'm to encourage other chain smokers. And then the follow on the bottom says, well, it reminds me of that Aretha Franklin song, Chainless of Fools. Maybe Paul means we're fools for Christ. And then Brother Biddle says, those are very interesting insights, but do you think Paul could simply be referring to his prison chains in Rome? And then there's a pause, and they say, I told you this Bible study wasn't about practical living. R-E-S-P-E-C-T is another Aretha Franklin, that song that Matt or means ministers to me. We jump quickly to application when we should be looking at interpretation. And we need to guard ourselves against that. It's at this point where you might want to look at some commentaries and see what are other people saying about this passage of Scripture. And then we come to the final application of, so what does it mean to me? And here it's all about making this practical. What is the Lord teaching me? What do I need to do? And there's three areas that this impacts. It impacts our intellect, it'll impact our emotions, and it'll impact our will. And so have I learned something new? Has it changed how I understand other pieces of Scripture because of what I've discovered here? How has my heart been affected by this? Has this got deep into me and I need to do something? And that leads to our will. What do I need to change? What are the things that I need to do as a result of this passage? This morning we've covered a lot of material. And the goal is not for you to do everything, but rather to choose one thing and try it. And I encourage you to try memorization. It's a powerful way of allowing God to simply sit in our lives. If you were marooned on a desert island and could bring just one book with you, which book would you bring? What book would you bring? Someone asked this question of J.K. Chesterton, and he was a well-known Christian writer, very creative Christian writer in the first half of the 20th century. And one naturally expected him to say, well, the Bible. But he didn't. He said, I would want to bring Thomas's Guide to Practical Shipbuilding. How incredibly practical. God's Word, the Bible, is the source that allows for the discovery of our freedom. The M&Ms of God's Word are critical to living out our freedom that God offers us through Jesus. The habits of memorizing, meditating, and study is all about transformation. I read an article this past week, and the comment the writer made just grabbed me. And this is what he said. He said, growing up, I spent more time wondering about the state of my personal salvation and less about the needs of the people living in my neighborhood. And that hit me. My salvation is secure because it's a free gift. It's a gift given to me through Jesus Christ. I simply need to put my faith in Jesus, and His grace covers me. I don't need to worry about that stuff anymore. The habit of memorization, meditation, study is all about moving forward, transformation. It's about knowing God better, loving Him more. It never remains a personal, private event. It moves us into the neighborhood. It moves us into the world where loving God is meeting the needs